Merry Christmas, everybody. You know, since 2020 was such a difficult year with so many difficult problems, this Christmas, I want us to look at the theme of the light of Jesus for your darkest days. We certainly had a lot of dark days in 2020. But one of the things that I love about the Christmas season is all the Christmas lights. You know, in the Northern Hemisphere, Christmas comes at the darkest time of the year for about half of the world. In fact, on Monday, it'll be the winter solstice for the Northern Hemisphere, which means it's the shortest day and the longest night. And Christmas lights up the world in the darkest part of the year for the Northern Hemisphere. First, it starts in the stores. They put up their lights. Then the cities put up their lights. Then our homes put up their lights. But, you know, I noticed this year that many homes beat the stores because we were all in a hurry to start celebrating at the end of this difficult year. Our street goes all out every year since four of our families are Saddleback families. I thought I'd show you what our street looks like. Now, also this year, Saddleback created a drive-through experience called The Light of the World. And I want to thank all of you, 4,000 of you volunteers who put that production together. And by the time it's finished, about 75,000 people will have seen the Light of the World extravaganza during Christmas and during December month here at Saddleback Church. Now, did you know that light is a major theme of the Bible? That's why we're going to look at a lot of Bible verses today. Light played a major role in the first Christmas. The Bible tells us the angels lit up the sky with a bright light, and they put on a dazzling light show for the shepherds. The Bible tells us the wise men were led to Jesus by an unusually bright star. Christmas is the celebration of God's light entering the world. Now, why is that important? Because the Bible tells us to expect dark days in our lives. Let me read you a verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, it's verse 8. It says this: people should enjoy every day of their lives, no matter how long they live, but they should remember that there will be many dark days. The Bible tells us that in life we will go through many dark days. Now, what are dark days? Well, they're any days where you're feeling negative emotions. There are dark days of confusion when you don't know which way to turn. You doubt which way you're going. There are dark days of conflict when you're having relational conflicts with people. There are dark days of disappointment when things didn't turn out the way you wanted. There are dark days of loss. There are dark days of loneliness when you're feeling all alone. There are dark days of grief when we've experienced the loss of a loved one or a job or something. There are dark days of stress and anxiety and fear. There are dark days of heartbreak, dark days of depression, dark days even of despair. You know, Isaiah predicted dark days in his book. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 21 and 22, he says this, talking about these dark days: people will wander aimlessly, distressed and hungry for what they don't have. Does that sound like today? In deep frustration, they'll become enraged and they'll shake their fist at leaders and even at God. And everywhere they look, they'll see trouble and darkness and despair, and they'll have to live in dark days. That was a prediction that Isaiah meant many, many years ago. But he also predicted the coming of Jesus to earth at Christmas. And in Isaiah 9, verse 2, he says this: the people who walk in darkness, they will see a great light, a light that will shine on all who have been living in the shadow of death. How do we have the light of Christ in our darkest days? The antidote to your darkest days is to turn to God's light. The Bible is filled with references to the effect of God's light in our lives. First off, it says that God's character is the source of all light in the universe. Without God, there would be no light. Without God, there would be no universe. 1 John 1, 5 says, God is light. So it says, it's his nature. All light comes from God. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. This is the message Jesus has given us to announce, 1 John 1:5. The Bible tells us that God's very first act in creation, when he created the universe, the first thing he did was create light. Genesis 1:1-4. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God is light. The first act of creation was light. And at the first Christmas, 2020 years ago, God came to earth as Jesus to give us more light. Light about himself, light about life, light about death, light about eternity, love, forgiveness, salvation, and much, much more. John 12:46, Jesus says this, "I have come as a light. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer wander in darkness." So you know what I did this week? I restudied. I got out the physics books and stuff, and I restudied all of the properties and all of the effects of light, the properties of light, to see the parallels of what God's world created. He created in his world, and what it teaches us about God himself. Now, what do we know about light? Well, let me just give you a quick overview. Light is an electromagnetic wave, and it's commonly classified in 7 kinds of different ways, from large to small, and they all travel at the same speed, the speed of light. There are radio waves, there are microwaves, there are infrared waves, there's visible light, then there's ultraviolet light, there are X-rays, and there are gamma rays. And I learned this week how different wavelengths of life interact differently with matter. And there are actually spiritual parallels to how light interacts in different ways. Now, we all know that light is illuminating, but we often ignore the other effects of light, such as light can be purifying, light can be healing, light can be warming. Light can even be transforming. So this Christmas, I want to ask the question, how does the light of Jesus, when he says, "I'm the light of the world," how does the light of Jesus help you in your darkest days? Well, let me just suggest 4 ways, all right? 4 different ways. Now, a first effect of light is this: light can illuminate. Light can illuminate. Ephesians 5:13 says, "Light makes all things easy to see." Now, I don't have to belabor this point because you use this principle every time you flip a light switch. Why in the world do you turn on lights? To see better. And you can always see more in the light than you can in the dark. And the brighter the light, the better you can see. And light illuminates. I mean, this is not a big deal. You know this. Light exposes. Light uncovers. Light clarifies. You ever shine the light under your bed, you see stuff there you didn't know was there. Light gives you a perspective completely different than when you're in the dark. If you've ever had surgery, you know that surgeons always want the brightest lights in that operating room so they can see every little detail. They don't want to miss a thing. I mean, no surgeon has ever said, "Hey, let's turn these lights down for a different mood in this surgery. Let's make it like a bar lounge." No, they want it as bright as possible so they can see as much as possible. If I asked you to go on a night hike with me to climb Mount Saddleback, how would you want to do it? Would you, A, want to do it with completely in the dark? Or B, would you like to use a weak, dim flashlight that only shines about a foot out? Or C, would you like to use a Costco Maxi Power lantern that you can see everything on the trail for 400 yards? Well, obviously, for clarity and for illumination, you'd want to use the brightest light you could get. It'd make the journey easier. Now listen, the same is true for life. To make the journey easier, you need more light in your life, the light of Jesus who says, "I'm the light of the world." The same is true. For clarity, you need the brightest light you can get. So where do you find the best light for life? John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. And if you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness, for living light will flood your path. Okay? During dark days, trusting Christ will help me see things more clearly. So I want you to write this down. Number one, in dark days, I need the light of Jesus when I can't see the way forward. When I can't see the way forward. When I'm confused, when I'm undecided, when I don't know what's best, when I can't figure out what to do next, when everything looks black and I can't see which way to go, I need the light of Christ in my life. Now, I know that the common answer in the world when you're confused is this: trust yourself, trust your gut, follow your instincts. But anybody who's tried that knows that at best, you're only right about 50% of the time. Your light is weak. Your perspective is small. It's like using one of those little wimpy pen lights you put on your keychain. They don't illuminate anything. And as a result, you've made a lot of bad decisions in life. Instead, here's what the Bible says to do. Isaiah 50, verse 10. For anyone who doesn't know where you're going, anyone groping in the dark, here's what to do. Trust in God. Yes, lean on God. Don't trust your own light. Trust the light of the Lord. Now you say, okay, Rick, I would love to have God's perspective on my problems. I'd love to have His help, His light on my challenges and my choices and my future. But how do I discover God's viewpoint? How can I see what God sees in my life? How do I get God's light on the things that matter to me? And the answer is this: get into this book, the Bible. You need to read it. You need to study it, because God's will is always found in God's word. Saturate your mind with the Bible. Psalm 119:105 says this: your words are a flashlight to light the path ahead of me and keep me from stumbling. You know, if you hear the farm noise out here, don't let it bother you, because it doesn't bother me. They're working on stuff. They're cutting down some stuff and tearing up some stuff. But you know what? I'm always amazed at how many people are always waiting around for God to give them a sign in the air instead of just reading the direction.